short message for you this evening. If you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25, please. I was asked a question about this particular chapter, and I went over to see if the notes were available on it. It's a parable. It's Matthew 25, the parable of the talents, starting in verse 14. And I tried to find that message, knowing that I had preached on it before, and it was not there in my resources, in my notes. And I scratched my head, and then I looked at my index of all those, and there's a little comment to the side. This message was preached when we had the great power outage in 2017. I have handwritten notes only for it, not in the computer. So I remember preaching that over there in that room and having my handwritten scrawl and going through that. It was not fit for public consumption. But yeah, so I have to sometime type that in. I just never have gotten to it. But anyway, remember that. We had power out for about a week. That was a little bit of a trial. The question had to do with the nature of the talents, what they were. And so let me just read this for you in Matthew 25:14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right, so the talent, the nature of this talent. The questioner asked, is this talent a measure of weight? And it is. The traveling man here gave his servants money. And whether that was money in the form of gold or silver or anything else for that matter really is irrelevant to the point of the parable. We might consider this to be talents of gold, although that is a lot of gold. Maybe talent of silver, that would be of lesser value, but still a weighty amount. Depending on the size of the talent used, a royal talent or a regular one, many pounds of money. And so he gave them money to be good stewards over until he returned. And he expected them to do something with that money. Now, this is the story part of it. It's not the point of the parable, but it's the story. We have to understand the story before we can get to the point of it that the Lord is trying to teach. He expected them to do something, as I said, with it. Maybe invest it or trade with it. Doesn't it say that in verse number 16? He traded with them and made another 5 talents. So somehow he's buying and selling and getting goods and doing things with it to enlarge what he has. Now, then the question really came in, is the talent connected to the English meaning of the word talent? You have a talent for God. What an ability. A reader of this passage in the original language, in the original culture, would have had no such thought. It's just simply an accident of the language that a talanta, weight, a measure of weight, is translated talent, T-A-L-E-N-T, into English, and that happens to be the same word that we use for a natural gift or ability, like a talent show, right? Is this a talent show talent? And so the Greek reader of this passage never would have thought that question at all. So that quick and easy interpretation, you know, of talent equals an ability or a natural gift is out. It's off the table, okay? Now, granted, I think there is an application to our talents, our abilities. That is that we're to be, what the Lord is teaching here, good stewards over everything that God has given to us, including our natural abilities. But Jesus is not limiting what he's saying just to our natural abilities here in this parable. In fact, I want you to notice carefully that there is a distinction made in the passage that helps us to understand this. If you look in verse number 15, notice that the parable says that the owner gave them talents, 5 and 2 and 1, and then it says, each according to their ability. The word ability is an entirely different word. Okay? Now to help you remember this, I'll explain it this way. The word, I said talent, talanta. Ability is the word for power or dunamis or potential or capability. But just because the word dunamis sounds like our word dynamite doesn't mean that these men had dynamite. All it means is they had certain capabilities. What is the master doing here? He's saying, this particular fellow has certain abilities. I can trust him with this. He can manage it. It's not too much. It's not too little. It's just the right amount for him. This fellow has a different level of ability. He can handle X amount, 5 and 2. And this fellow over here, well, that's a little bit of a risk, but I'll give him 1 and see what he can do with it. But the point is, obviously, the two ideas are distinct. You have the talents, the weight of money that he gave, and then you have each according to his ability. Obviously, God has given us our abilities, we have to say, right? More or less, we might develop on those abilities and improve upon them and make them better, but we have a certain capacity. Some of us, capacity for working with things with our hands, and others with our minds and ideas and abstract ideas, and some of us, really three-dimensional in our thinking, and others kind of very linear in our thinking, and so we each have those different abilities. Some of us are good managers, some of us are good people, some of us are good thing people. You know what I'm saying? We all have these abilities. So God gave, well, not God, but here the man, the traveling man, I'm jumping ahead of myself, gave them responsibilities and necessary resources to go along with those responsibilities. He wanted them to earn more money with this that he gave. He said in 27, you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at least I would have received my own back with interest. So he was looking for some outcome to happen with this thing that he gave to them. So I said that he gave the responsibility and the resources to go along with those responsibilities. He measured them out as they would be able to handle it. And by the way, I'll just say this. God always gives you the resources to do the job that he's called you to do, somehow or another. Now, sometimes the resources are found as you perform the job that you're supposed to be doing. A classic example is in church planting work. You go to a city, you yourself, and you, that's it. That's all you have and your family. And hopefully, the Lord will raise up a group of people out of which you will call deacons and a treasurer and maybe a missionary and maybe someday a pastor. The resources didn't seem to be there at the first, but they came. But God will provide those resources. Now, God doesn't give a ton of responsibility to a person who is not naturally cut out to handle it. The two or the one in this case. But He doesn't criticize the person with two talents for not gaining five more. He gave him two, and there was a commensurate response that he expected based on the ability that the man had. Different people have different abilities, and that's just the way it is. People are not totally equal in that sense, are they? Even though we want to make everybody equal today, our culture says everybody's equal. Equal opportunities, no, that's not good enough. Equal outcomes have to be the case. Well, that's just not how life works, my friends. Sometimes you have people who are naturally very talented and others are not. You know, but listen, you might not think yourself, or others may not think you, to be a naturally talented person in various ways, but maybe God gives you a small responsibility in a rural, local setting, a local church in a small town. For example, you can still be evaluated favorably at the judgment seat of Christ if you've done your work faithfully. See that? You don't have to always look to the next big thing and say, "Whoa, I'm not in this whole huge operation, and I'm not the head of, you know, my company or a CEO or a manager or something like that." No, you have to just be faithful with what God has given you as a responsibility. So the story is about resources and money. That is, the things given by the master to the servants to test their stewardship while he's away. Okay, that's the story. What's the meaning of the story that the Lord is trying to get across to us? I understand it that the Lord is teaching us about anything and everything that the Lord gives us to do to serve Him. In real life, the application of this story is like this. The talents are not money. The talents are not talents. They're not natural abilities only. Let me give you a whole list of what the word talent could imply for us in terms of the meaning of this parable. Opportunities, responsibilities. Could include money. If God's given you that, you've got to use it for Him. Some He leaves in poverty. Others He gives great wealth to. Time, spiritual gifts, natural abilities, possessions that you own. You have a Bible. You have a Bible. Some people groups don't have a Bible. You have a church. You have a life. You have health. You have strength. You have salvation. You have resources. And you have everything else that you can think of. That's 15 things. I'm just trying to give you a broad overview of what it is that the Lord is saying. He's given us certain stuffs, certain responsibilities and resources to go along with those responsibilities, all of that stuff that you can think of. And what God wants us to do is to be fruitful with those things. If you're fruitful as a Christian with those things that God has given you, then you are being faithful to God. If you don't do anything with them, then you are shown to be the fraud that you really are under the hood. In other words, just taking the Lord's blessings and doing nothing with them, or just using them for yourself in a selfish way, does not count as faithful stewardship. This point about responsibilities is helpful. God has presently given some of our brothers and sisters in the church the responsibilities, just thinking of the local church now, to be members and to be teachers of the Word in this church. Sunday school teachers, junior church, truth trackers. Are we making the most of those opportunities with the resources that God has given to us? I'll put myself under the microscope. Will I have something to show at the end of my life in terms of the use of my responsibility as a pastor of the flock here? I'm not looking beyond this church or to some other thing or anything like that. I think God has called me here, and that's my responsibility. I hope that a church plant that we've helped to lead, the individual growth of believers under the ministry of the Word, training some men for ministry, working with Bibles International, working with Gospel Mission of South America, working with you all, will be counted as a fruitful and faithful stewardship by the Lord. But plug yourself into that and ask yourself, okay, here are the 15 kinds of resources I have. Now, am I maximizing those, or am I minimizing those, or am I just being lazy with those? I mean, the Lord tells a story here, and He says, you wicked and lazy servant. You didn't think it was wicked to go hide the money in the ground, did you? It is. Now, you probably did think it was lazy, although he at least had to dig the hole. I mean, he can dig. We know that. sad state of affairs with somebody in this kind of situation. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, Paul says, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. That's the message, I think, of the parable. It is required in stewards that one be found faithful. And the Lord has given it to us. Really, the whole Bible is almost a story of that kind of thing, after all, isn't it? I mean, God created Adam and Eve, and what did He say to them? This earth is in your stewardship now. Go fill it and manage it. Now, we've made a bit of a mess of it and a mismanagement of it, but that's the whole thing. Now, He's given you a little piece of the pie. Manage it. Steward it. Use it well to be found faithful. So talents aren't just money in the meaning of the story. In the story, they are money, but in the meaning of it, they're all the resources and responsibilities God gives us. Okay? That's the definition. You've got them. Use them. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, whatever we have comes from You, and I pray that You will help us to make good use of it for Your sake, for Your name's sake. Lord, as we go now from this place, I'm praying that You will take us home to our places in safety, that You will watch over us, that You will bless and encourage us. Perhaps somebody comes in here tonight a little blue, a little down, a little concerned or worried. May they go with a lighter step than they came in. May You encourage their hearts through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.